Blog Talk Radio.
Anyway, today's show is what exactly is human beingness.
And the curious thing is that everybody on the planet will have a different answer. There are those that will say that we evolved from apes. There are those that just will say that, well, we're simply a two-legged creature on the planet, no different than any other life form, and all that good stuff. And anyway, so I thought I'd talk about it a little bit, simply because it's on my brain and all that. Because a long time ago, I asked two simple questions to my Sunday school teacher: what makes me the image and likeness of God, and how does one live as the image and likeness of God? And so for basically 54 years, I have been trying to answer those two questions. And the interesting thing is that we have, within the context of our life and times, there are a lot of viewpoints that people subscribe to that we're convinced is the way that it is, when in actuality it's only that way for those people that believe what they do. And the cool thing is that when you look at the different types of people on this planet, it becomes an interesting thing. I went and saw Michael Moore's Move, What Country to Invade Next. And he simply went to different countries. He went to Italy, he went to Finland, he went to Denmark, he went to Iran, he went to Tunisia, went to Iceland. And what he did was he just looked at certain social practices that more often than not, the idea was originated in the United States, but really hasn't been practiced as such by this country. And that kind of thing. And we humans don't do a very good job with social involvement because we simply don't know any better. And it makes it interesting when looking at the process of what's going on within the context of the life that people are living. It makes it a pretty interesting thing. It makes it a pretty odd thing in a lot of ways, how we conduct our affairs. And I've always found Michael Moore's movies, I think this is his fourth movie. I think his first movie was Bowling for Columbine. Then he did Fahrenheit 9/11. Then he did the movie Sicko, which was about the medical profession in the United States. And then Free Healthcare. And I think there's like 25 countries on the planet to give free health care. And then this movie is Where to Invade Next, or it's either Where to Invade Next or What Country to Invade Next. I can't remember exactly what it is. And so it becomes an interesting thing. It becomes a curious thing. When looking at the idea of human beingness, the first thing that a person can work with within the context of that is the idea of God. The next is the idea of the universe. Next is the idea of self. In one sense, the nature of the self can be thought of, human beingness can be thought of as God and universe, divinity and deity. Yahweh, and it is the creator in that which brought us to life. And mom and dad. And so in one sense, we have the idea that from the perspective of mom and dad, there's issues and talents. From the perspective of Yahweh and Id, there's love and light. From the perspective of divinity and deity, there's will and consciousness. And then from the perspective of God and universe, there's all-encompassingness, which is the original state condition of God. And then there's that which God became, which is the universe. And so from the perspective that we are working with, or the perspective that we're dealing with, is that becoming conscious of who we are according to that which is involved. And we humans don't do a very good job of taking enough into consideration about that. And so it becomes a curiosity because we are in the process of evolving. And in order for a person to evolve, or in order for the species as a whole to evolve, it's useful to have an idea that works within the composition or constitution of the self according to what's evolved. One of the arenas of engagement that an individual can have as the life that they're living is working within the context of conscious awareness. The other is working within the context of that which is conducive to the self and others. One of the things that I shared with Ince the other day is that arrogance is a lack of... It's arrogance is a lack of self-respect. And what is interesting about that is that when we are looking at human beingness, the attitude that we have about who we are involves basically three things. Every single person that comes into the life that he or she is arbitrary. And what happens is the only reason why energy exists as positive and negative is so that people can polarize, because that is what consciousness does within the context of self-awareness. Is consciousness evolves even consciousness evolves within the context of the nature of the self as who an individual is within the context of the contribution that's made. There is individual self-polarization, and then there's connected integration or Christ consciousness, which is can be thought of as positive service polarity. Then there's negative service polarity, and from the perspective of arbitrariness, an individual simply observes those that work within the context of controlling others and manipulating others so that the intention of the individual can be done. It's the idea of getting people to do the bidding of the individual through a systems theory that the individual has. Some people are more successful than others. The only thing that arbitrariness does is evolves either within the context of positive energy or negative energy. And it's one thing that we don't understand very well within the context of our lives. We don't pay attention to it at all. And because of that, it means that oftentimes that an individual is simply missing the point of what's taking place, what's going on. And basically, all we do is miss the point about what's going on as who we are within the context of our life. The work that I have done for almost 50 years is simply understand human beingness according to its design, service polarity, and then in the big picture, collective ascension. One of the visions that I was given, a long time ago was that the only thing that exists at the highest levels of creation are collectives that have ascended. And so the nice thing is in understanding that, recognizing that, I was able to come across the raw material, which was channeled in 1981 to 1982. It was published in 1984. I originally read it in 1985, and one of the things that it talks about is that comes a point in the evolution of consciousness in which individuality simply doesn't exist anymore. It's the third octave of sixth density, which means that the fourth octave of sixth density through all eight octaves of seventh density, the only thing that you have is collectives that have ascended. Now, according to the raw, the more popcorn you eat, the more bonbons you eat, the more you'll laugh and play and be excited about the fact that you're eating popcorn and eating bonbons. And it makes it a fun thing. And then if Ince was in my house, I would be throwing popcorn at her. And then I would be forcing her to eat probably 5 or 6 dozen bonbons. On a more serious note, what you have is that as consciousness evolves, as it becomes more conscious, there is the realization or the recognized or the recognition that as a life form, the only thing that matters is the contribution that's being made, either within the context of negative service polarization or within the context of positive service polarization. The difficulty is that if you study Hinduism, if you study Buddhism, if you study Christianity, if you study the New Age, more than likely if you study Islam, if you study Judaism, if you study Mormonism or Christian Science, there isn't an emphasis at all on ascension, particularly within the context of ascending the body. Death and ascension only involves the body. It is the body that ascends or the body that dies. One of the things that we don't do within the context of our lives is we don't focus on the bigger picture. Because we don't focus on the bigger picture, we end up missing the point about why we exist as an ideal in the first place. So one of the things that's useful is coming into an awareness or understanding about why we exist as we do. And it's pretty cool when you think about it. It's pretty cool when you think that there are women and there are men. I happen to like the fact that there are women and men. I like the fact that there are different races. I like the fact that everybody is involved with doing something different. And that makes it pretty cool. Not as cool as it is, of course, but it does make it pretty nice. One of the things about human beingness that we don't realize is that, yes, there is the dynamic of pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide, and the negative, but there is also the flip side. There is also the positive, which is joy, love, compassion, self-acceptance, harmony rather than violence, happiness rather than depression, and rather than suicide, there is ascension, specifically of the body. Within the context of what makes me the life that I live is simply what I am consciously aware of. Yes, I have issues and talents that I got from mom and dad. Yes, there is the consciousness that I bring as a soul into my life. And then there is simply discipline that develops. And one of the things that's really nice about the process is that every day is simply a technique or an opportunity for growing beyond a given circumstance, condition, state, thing, and so on. The idea basically is that an individual comes into the experience of who they are, and then as that an individual assists the surrounding environment and the surrounding community in becoming as conscious. And there is a real resistance. Most people on the planet live according to the dynamics of lack, need, want, wound, ignorance, indifference, and tolerance from the primal states of fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial. And denial is specifically the existence of, as a human being, that's involved with what is. And what we are involved with is God, divinity, God and universe, divinity, deity, the love of Yahweh, the light of Id, the issues of mom, the talents of dad, within the context of contribution. The only thing that matters as who we are is the contribution that we're making. And the contribution is simply what we feel, sense, and envision as our life that we then share with others. And it doesn't have to be anything other than being with in the moment from a place of stillness, peace, harmony, or feeling good about who we are as a human being. One of the more interesting awarenesses that comes through the process of meditation is that human beingness is, in our case, in this planet, is how God and universe become conscious within the context of the life form that we are. The interesting thing, infinity allows for anything to take place on this planet with people. So anything goes. From the place of arbitrariness, anything goes. It is interesting when we look at social engagement, how people subscribe to ideologies that are antithetical to human beingness. Now, what do I mean by that? If we look at the systems theories of science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine, those seven institutions are what maintains hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, war, greed, and class distinction under the process or protocol of conquering, enslaving, and destroying. The flip side, which is the indigenous way of life before it was affected by the invader culture mindset, was there was simply equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility within the context of a given life form that is self-aware as that. If we look at the life that we're living as a human being, is the one thing that the Ra says is that an individual has the ability to, or it says that an individual must internalize everything that is observed, everything, because one of the things that I was told way back in November of 1991 when I was in McCrae, Colorado, was that you can't see it if it's not inherent within your life. You can't see it. So what that did was it got me thinking about God and universe and pretty much everything in between. And so part of the work that I do is simply understanding who I am within the context of God and universe and so-called everything else in between. So it becomes a useful exercise. It becomes a useful process to engage in that, to be involved with that. One of the things that I have accepted within the context of my life that's very, very useful is the fact that according to the Ra, the question was asked about large numbers of people. And Dawn Elkins asked Carlo when she was channeling the Ra, what about large numbers of people? And the response by the Ra was this. If you have assisted one person, you have assisted the entire creation. Count ye not the numbers. The interesting thing for me is that Ince has been listening to the sound of my voice for about the last year and a half. And she hasn't gotten to the point of telling me to shut the F up. And that's nice because I have tried my hardest to get her to do that. But she refuses. She actually likes what I have to say. And that's kind of a contradistinction to everybody else because the atypical individual, more often than not, is so tied to a systems theory that is more false doctrine than anything else. And I include science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine when I say that, more contrived fiction than anything else. And the indigenous way of life, those were not practiced at all. There was no science, there was no religion, there was no education, there was no business, there was no politics, there was no law, there was no medicine. At one time, the indigenous way of life was disease-free. There was no such thing as disease within the composition or constitution of the culture as an ideal, as a form of existence. And I'm always fascinated by that because the curious thing, and this is something that we humans don't understand, is every single disease was manufactured at one time by someone within the context of the medical profession. AIDS was manufactured by Dr. Gould in 1984, and then it was deliberately introduced to the populations of Africa and the gay populations in, I believe, New York City, specifically, with the intention of eliminating gays and the African-American woman from the planet. AIDS is specifically engineered for the African woman. And it's rather curious that there are people on this planet that have that psychology and mentality. Now, what's a person like you or me or Ince, for that matter, to do? And that is all we do is we accept it. We're even minded about it. Understand it, garner the wisdom about it, and then move on. One of the curious things about human beingness is it is simply a representation of what exists as an ideal at a planetary level. One of the things that we haven't done a very good job with humanly is understanding why positive and negative energy exist as it does at this level. The only reason why positive and negative energy exists at this level is so that people will choose to polarize according to what the energy is and what it does. Negative energy has a very, very specific protocol. Positive energy has a very, very specific protocol. The simple fact is that every human being comes into the experience half light, half dark, half love, half fear, and what an individual does is resolve the negative into the positive. According to the law, every thought has an antithesis, which means every single state that exists energetically has a positive and a negative to it at this level. There comes a point in the evolution in which there is a reunification, which according to the law is light, love, love, light. According to the law, there is time, space, and there is space, time. We exist in time, space. When an individual does an out-of-body experience, they go into space-time, and it is a completely differing state of existence, and both exist simultaneously by the fact that the body and the soul exist. If we want to live as a human being, all an individual has to do is simply live his or her life like the sun, like the earth, like the four phases of the moon and the universe, as mind, body, spirit, soul, which can be thought of as will, love, light, and consciousness. Will, love, light, and consciousness, as it corresponds to God, Yahweh, Id, and universe, are infinite, eternal, complete, and total as is. Part of the work that an individual can do is to simply feel comfortable as the humanity he or she is. Simply feel comfortable. The other is working with ideas to move beyond fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial, move beyond sin, sickness, disease, death, move beyond birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation. Death of the body is reincarnation of the soul. If the body dies, the soul will have to reincarnate. What part of the work that I have been doing is I have been working within the context of ascending the body rather than dying the body. And I was born into a family dynamic that has allowed me to understand Yahweh and Id as opposed to my biological mother and father. It has allowed me to understand God and universe. It has allowed me to understand divinity and deity. It has allowed me to understand creativity as opposed to control. Every single human being on the surface of this planet can become consciously aware of God. They become an individual can become God conscious like Zoroaster taught. They can become enlightened like Buddha taught. They can become miracle minded like Jesus taught. They can become universally consciously aware. It takes a certain degree of work. Most people do not focus upon that. Most people remain stuck within the context of the ego that dies the body because of unresolved fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial by an unwillingness to move from point A to point B within the composition of the self into its natural state of representation. And there is a resistance to that by most people. And it's a curious thing. Because who in their right mind wants to have a life predominated by pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide? Every single condition that an individual faces that is involved with has an antithesis to it. Every single state, so when it's negative states, an individual can literally choose to be involved in a positive frame of reference. Now, the interesting thing is that I refuse to get sick. And I literally work with people that have missed time from work because they've gotten sick. They've coughed in my face. I have a girlfriend that has a cold, and she's been coughing. And her nose is red. I call her Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, because her nose, the end of her nose, is red. And the interesting thing is she is coughing, she has a cold, we have French kissed, and I have not gotten sick because I refuse to allow myself to hold to a negative thing. I'm of the opinion that the reason why people get sick is because they get angry, because they are fearful, because they are stressed, because they are too busy. I divide my time between being active and doing things and not being active at all. I like to think of that as a balance. And one of the things that I find interesting about my mother is that she is basically nonstop busy. She is always doing something that has a tendency to be a form of addiction, dysfunction, and distraction, which is what we have the opportunity to resolve. And anything can be a form of distraction. Everything can be a form of anything, or everything can be a form of dysfunction. Everything can be a type of addiction. People are addicted to being busy. People are addicted and dysfunctional by business. People are distracted by business. It's almost like as long as there is a continual process of allowing the external to draw the attention away from a person isn't paying attention to what specifically makes the nature of the self that it is, so that a contribution can be made to the health and welfare of the planet and others. And it is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is the contribution a given individual makes to him or herself through others. And we are each other. I am you, and you are me, and this is why we meet. One of the interesting things about the Bible is the Bible teaches fear, judgment, or persecution as the Old Testament, which is negative. Then there's the life of Jesus, which is love, forgiveness, and doing unto others. And notice, fear, judgment, and persecution is the opposite of love, forgiveness, and doing unto others. And then there's the arbitrariness of Paul. And in a sense, everybody comes from the perspective of Paul. And what I mean by that is we're not paying attention to what we have an opportunity to accomplish within the context of our lives by doing a simple thing of meditating, choosing to serve others, and in the big picture, aspiring to collectively ascend. There are very few people on the surface of this planet right now that are going to polarize within the context of the positive and ascend the body, because it is simply not being taught, and where people choose to limit themselves to. And science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are limitations, because it doesn't have to be that way. And I always get a kick out of when the idea is that, well, according to science, science is not the end-all and the be-all. Science is as misguided as any other systems theory. And the reason why is because, according to science, if you can't observe it, then it doesn't exist. And guess what, folks? You cannot observe certain things. You cannot. It's not about what is observable, it's what is inherent. And yes, there are things that allow us to understand the mind, which is why there's the sun, the body, which is why there's the planet, spirituality, which is why there's the quarter phases of the moon, the full moon and the new moon, and then there's the universe, which allows us to recognize the role and nature of the soul as a state of conscious awareness. So one of the things that we do within the context of our human beingness is we choose to personify a given state according to what we feel, sense, think, and envision. And here's what's fun and here's what's cool. Antagonizing ints as much as possible. Very cool. And guess what? She's very playful and she's very fun. And yes, there's aspects to her where she just doesn't get it. And that's perfect, because we are all like that. I'm even like that. Gee, maybe that's why I have an involvement with this after all, because I just don't get it. Oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Thank God for movies. Thank God for television. Thank God for newspapers. Thank God for books. Thank God for psychobabble BS. And it's interesting to me what people choose to hold on to the death. And it's a curious thing. One of the things that I find fascinating is people that choose to hold their attention according to a systems theory that's been outdated by the length of time, that it's once an idea is written down, it's outdated 1 second later. And that's the bottom line fact. New truth, new realness, moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. I am only interested in an idea for as long as it takes me to become conscious of the next level of extension and expansion, which is the only thing that consciousness does. I am not interested in holding on to a belief system that more often than not doesn't exist as the idea. There are lots and lots and lots of ideas in the Rig Veda, in the Upanishads, in the Bhagavad Gita. There are lots of ideas according to the sutras. There are lots of ideas within the context of the Bible that are unnecessary, unneeded, and should be let go of, and we absolutely refuse to do that. And it becomes a curiosity because the simple fact of the matter is the only thing that consciousness does is become more conscious of who it is, what it is, as it is, where it is. That's all it does. And the cool thing that I have found is that I am more conscious now than I was when I woke up this morning. I'm more conscious now than I was last week. I'm more conscious now than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years, 50 years ago, and so on. And the nice thing is I'm only interested in the new ideas. One of the interesting ideas that came to me Sunday was arrogance is a lack of self-respect. And I will hold on to that only as long, and there's always going to be something else. The simple fact of infinity is there is always something else to be, to know, to share, and to ascend. The only three things that we do humanly: know the self according to its design, serve others, and aspire, in the case of humanity, as the Christ. The Christ means the collective, connected integration of humanity as a whole, living according to a single ideal, not everybody doing their own thing. And the Christ is what ascends en masse as will of light and consciousness, as it corresponds to God, Yahweh, it, and universe. And the nice thing for me is that as long as I am sharing my ideas in this context, it doesn't make any difference who listens to the sound of my voice. It doesn't. So I have no qualms whatsoever with the fact that there's almost never anybody in the chat room. And as far as I know, the only person listening to the show is Int, and that's it, and that's perfect. And yes, there will come a point in time because I have a message that assists humanity in the process of collective ascension specifically. And there's a lot of things that have to end from the perspective of the individual in order for that to happen. According to conversations with God, nation state has to end before collective ascension can take place. Gender disparity has to end. Race consciousness has to end. Death has to end, and so on it goes, and so on it goes, and so on it goes. So the question is, what is it going to take for humanity to move or evolve beyond limitations as a point of reference? What is it going to take? Is it going to take environmental devastation? Is it going to take a return of the warlord god Jehovah, that's also the destroyer god Shiva, that's also Allah, that's also YHWH within the context of Judaism, Islam, Christianity, and Hinduism? That's four major religions right there: Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Catholicism are four of the major religions on this planet. Alice Bailey made a really, really interesting comment. Hinduism gave rise to Buddhism. Buddhism gave rise to Christianity. And what I say is Christianity gave rise to the New Age because you have God, you have life, you've got human beingness, you have the nature of the soul as consciousness that's universal. And right now, Hinduism doesn't take life into consideration, doesn't take humanness into consideration, and doesn't take the New Age into consideration. So guess what? A person's limited to a short-sighted or misguided viewpoint. Buddhism talks about life, but it's missing an idea of God. It's also misunderstanding what the nature of the self is according to the design, and it's understanding the nature of the universe. Then you get to Christianity. Christianity is about the idea of the human ideal as the Christ, but it misinterprets that. It's also tied to fear, guilt, fear, judgment, persecution. It's also arbitrariness within the context of psychology of Paul. So it focuses on human beingness, but it puts it in the context of Jesus being it, and we are not. And it even says in the Bible, if you believe these things that I have done, ye shall do as I have done, even greater, for I go unto the Father. And yet how many people are applying themselves to miracle-mindedness like it talks about in the Course of Miracles, which is the return of Jesus to this day and age, took place in 1975. So it's interesting because when we look at God, life, human beingness, service. The only other thing that an individual needs is oneness that deals wholeness into ascension. So you have the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, the ascension of that which serves. So it becomes interesting because Gautama Buddha was born in India in the hopes that Hinduism would adapt to its thing of life. And then the idea of, well, what is human beingness? Because you have God, you have life, you have human beingness, and then what does human beingness do? It does one of two things. It either serves itself or it serves others. Most people never get to that perspective. Most people don't get that point of reference. So what happens is the service aspect is completely ignored. It's completely denied. It's denigrated in a lot of cases. And what happens is that people simply go through this very, very tedious process of birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation. And I know I know Shirley MacLaine is real, real big on reincarnation, but it's not about reincarnation. It's about ascension. And so what happens is that if people don't take enough into consideration that which they are not allowing to be the existence of as who they are, as the human beingness of, is simply the disparity that necessitates the ending of the body, because the realness of the body as an ideal isn't allowed to be what it is. One of the things that we don't do within the composition or constitution of our life is we don't pay attention to details that are antithetical to who we are. Bible as a case in point. I'll use Hinduism or the Rig Veda as a case in point, and so on. I said, according to Ramtha, there's Yahweh, the Creator. There's it which brought us to life, and then there's the Lord God, Jehovah, as it's referred to in the Old Testament, but it's actually the warlord God, Jehovah, which conquers, enslaves, and destroys, and Jehovah is antithetical to that which created us and brought us to life. In Hinduism, in Catholicism, in Protestant Christianity, in Islam, and in Judaism, they are all three combined together as if they are all part and parcel of the process, and they are not. The destroyer God is antithetical to the Creator and that which brought us to life. Antithetical. There is not a body of knowledge on the planet right now that is the voice of Yahweh, the voice of it as that which created us and brought us to life. There is not. It does not exist. And so there is no way that people on this planet know who the Creator is, what the Creator is, how we were created, why we were created, how we were brought to life, why we were brought to life, and then there's that which conquers, enslaves, and destroys, which is antithetical to the process. So what you have within the composition of civilized society, that which is antithetical to the human ideal completely, totally, absolutely. And so it becomes problematical when we are trying to evolve as a species with what we are up against. And we are up against some very fundamental things. It is not allowed. Human beingness is not allowed to be what it is. So what we have as a projection into an objectification within the context of humanity, we have systems theories that are in place that are denigrating to the human ideal, slavery being a case in point. Slavery being a case in point. And slavery is alive and well on this planet. There are lots of things that we people choose to do that are ridiculous when it comes to human beingness as an ideal, ridiculous, and yet this is the way that it is. If there does not take place radical change within the composition of this planet, there will come a point in time in which everything natural and biological would be replaced by cities and towns. And the self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating aspect of what is real and true, conducive, ongoing, would simply not take place. Notice What we have done is we have replaced that which is natural with that which is artificial. We have replaced dirt, vegetation, life forms with steel, cement, asphalt, concrete, plastic. And that is every single city and town, every single structure is composed of that which is artificial, that which is contrary to. One of the things that we haven't come to an understanding of, according to the Georgia Stones, is that we should not congregate in communities larger than 2,000 people. Do you know how many cities and towns have a greater number of people than 2,000? Almost all of them on this planet. The city of Macau has a population density of 50,000 people per square mile. New Jersey has a population density of 7,500 people per square mile. Population density of 7/10 of a person per square mile. In California, the population density is approximately 20 people per square mile for the size. And it's an interesting thing. Everybody would be wise to read the book, The Individual and the Nature of the Nature of Mass Events, which was a channeled book. It was Seth's information channeled by Jane Roberts, and it explains why tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes take place as a direct result of the mass consciousness that composes it. Natural disasters are not natural. They are a direct result of mass consciousness from a point of unbridled hatred that people don't resolve. Robert Monroe mentioned in his book that there is a static noise that's made. He calls it M-band noise, which is unresolved emotions to the extent that there's like a buzzing or a humming that takes place 24/7 because people don't do the simple thing of understanding what stillness, peace, and harmony are as the natural state of a given thing as a life form representing the existence of. Stillness is to God, peace is to life, harmony is to social order. And if an individual is humble enough, transparent enough, and authentic enough, the individual can be it, know it, share it, and ascend it. I was fortunate that way back when, when I moved to Taos, New Mexico, that I actually had the experience of stillness as my heart, peace as my body, harmony as my head, and that's how I conduct my affairs. One of the things that's really cool about knowing Ince as a person is that she recognizes these different things. The last time she and I got together, she made the comment to me, is one of the things that she could see as my face was the peacefulness that I am as a human being. That's the payoff of the work. The payoff of the work is that if you can be it, know it, share it, you will ascend it. Because here's the trick about ascension. The only thing that is harvested humanly as this planetary life form of human beingness are those that have polarized in the positive, those who are polarized in the negative, because that is the only consciousness that evolves. It is only service polarity that evolves within the context of a larger organism or state of existence. It is only service polarity. Those who are negatively polarized are removed and taken to that aspect of the universe that corresponds to their level of self-service. Those who are positive are harvested, and those will be the individuals that begin the process of working towards collective ascension. And collective ascension only involves will of light and consciousness as the nature of the self from a point of contribution. And it is the only thing that matters is contribution. Nothing else has any relevance or realness within the context of the design. And this is something that people are completely unaware of right now. And it is interesting how we choose to conduct our affairs from the perspective of fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial, which simply makes people more cartoon character in the mind of God than anything else. And we are like cartoon characters rather than representing the image and likeness of what is real, true, conducive, and ongoing. The simple fact of the matter is that we were told in 1850 by Madame Blavatsky to develop a spirituality so that the body doesn't die, so the planet isn't destroyed, so that society can continue to evolve. And all that is required is that everybody needs a spiritual practice that is unique to who they are. And what do? We decide, okay, 1 billion people are practicing Hinduism, that's not spirituality. 1 billion people are practicing as Buddhists, that's not spirituality. 2 billion people are practicing as Christians, that's not spirituality. 1 billion people are practicing as Islamics, as Muslims, that's not spirituality. About 50 million Jews are practicing Judaism, that's not spirituality. Spirituality is that which is the life of, and it differs from person to person, from species to species. It is the same spirit. However, the life form differs on an individual level within the context of the process. And what is the process? The process is simply understanding what's involved as it is, personifying that humanly so that within the context we are personifying the existence of as the humanity is the beingness, the knowingness, the contribution, and then the ascension. And the simple fact is that people simply don't get it. They don't. They don't want to hear it. They don't understand it. They could care less. That seems to be the common denominator. I don't understand it. I could care less about it. I don't want to hear it. So it becomes very interesting, because there's only so much that sources can do within the context of the life as who they are. There's only so much they can do. And for the simple fact of the matter is, it's fascinating to me that the majority of people on the surface of this planet have tied themselves to systems theories as religion that are outdated by hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And there is no changing that person's mind. There is no changing a person's mind when they are convinced of something. And that is a curiosity, because the simple fact of the matter is that we can hold to something that takes our life, or we can hold to something that allows us to move into a greater level of human beingness. The simple fact of the matter is that life on this planet could be harmonious. The simple fact of the matter is life could be healthy, happy, holy. And yet, it's not that way for large numbers of people. I said there are billions of people who are sick. There are billions of people who are unhappy. There are billions of people who are stressed out. There are billions of people who are fearful. It's just as easy to be loving and peaceful and kind as it is anything else. And it is a curiosity that we as a species are not more harmonious, not more peaceful, that we are not more kind to one another. It's almost like what we have decided is the human ideal is social retardation. And why? Why is it that the news chooses to focus on death, destruction, and disaster, rather than ascension, harmony, that which is conducive to the process? And I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news. I don't read newspapers. I've even cut down the amount of time that I'm on the internet, because I'm simply not interested in levels of existence that are not representative of what I know is the existence of God, is the existence of the universe, is the realness of the stillness of God, the peace of life, and social harmony. Because I know these as my life, as them. And it's just very curious. And part of the work that I've been doing for about the last 10 years is that I work on not allowing anything to bother me at all. So it makes no difference to me that Donald Trump might be the next president. It makes no difference to me that there's war going on here and there's this violence going on there and there's this hypocrisy going on there and there's this silliness going on there, because that is not what I hold to as the composition or constitution of my human beingness. Human beingness is simply the ability to personify as a state of representation the existence of God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Id, mom and dad, and any other quality. That's what human beingness is. It is simply holding to as a representation the existence of that one is humanizing for others. And I am only interested in God consciousness, like Zoroaster taught, enlightenment like Buddha, miracle-mindedness like Jesus, and universal conscious awareness like the Raw or Seth. I am only interested in playing music, writing what I understand, doing a good job within the context of life, of being positive within the context of the life of others. I personally am only interested in the human beingness as it exists. I'm interested in living the original design. I'm interested in being, and that's what I hold to. And fortunately for me, I've been working on this for basically 50 years. I'm 59 years old, and I have been working on this for 50 years. And fortunately for me, I haven't needed teachers to teach me. I have literally walked the masterless path for my entire time. I haven't needed the guru. I haven't needed the monk in the monastery. I haven't needed Joe Schmo here, Susie Joe there, and so on and so forth. I haven't. I simply allow people to come into my life and show me what I need to recognize about myself, and I simply let go and move on, let go, move on, let go, move on, let go, move on, and all that good stuff. Anyway, this is Welcome to My Point of View. This show is about human beingness, and the recommendation that I have is feel something real, think something true, share them in ways that are kind and conducive. I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy. I would like to thank Vince for calling in once again and listening to the show. I actually like the fact that very, very few people listen to the sound of my voice, because it simply means that I don't have a lot of people drawing on me energetically. The nice thing is I will do a show next Tuesday. I do have a talk coming up the first, I think it's the 3rd of April. It is going to be on love and light. Live never ceases to exist. It also has to do light when owned. It's like love when lived never dies. Light when owned never ceases to exist. One can heal birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation. That's what the talk's going to be on. It's going to be some live music. It's going to be at the Chai Studio here in Mount Shasta. And that's what it is. I do my Blog Talk Radio show once a week. I do my talk once a month. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as Ince listens to my voice, it all takes care of itself. And we will do it again. Thank you all. And understand, you are the human beingness of what you feel, sense, think, and envision. Anyway, you all take care and thank you. Bye.